Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction? Devin Tilley here, and it's such a special moment where the Art of Construction podcast, the fire was lit, and it was all about connections and handoffs and moving this industry forward. So through Darlene Beals, who's part of the Art of Construction Master Facilitator community now, I had such a wonderful time at being at the Nuts and Bolts Conference and learning all about IDD, where we had three different podcasts at the conference where we interviewed Barb and Lexi, the founders of Trailhead and the actual project. Then we talked with How to Build It Out through the engineer and the GC, Jim Shipton and Greg Krause. Then we talked about how to begin with the end in mind, talking about design with the Layer 10 integrator, Ken Wilkinson and Beth Rodriguez, who's integral into the whole project. So I'll leave it at that. Hopefully you've listened to those three podcasts as we're releasing those. But today we're going to be talking about the connections from the IDD conference. And Michelle in our pre-interview was talking about, Devin, what I'm really hearing from you is that I'm here to help talk about the connections to empower projects. And that was just such a great comment. And it's an honor to have Michelle here. And I'll begin by the end in mind to say, Michelle and I just met in person, but instantly we had this common goal from different threads that people tie us together. And that's really important. And so we get to have Michelle Dumais here, who is the business development and placement analyst, local, national, international, TEDx speaker with Energy Glass. And I want to take a moment here to talk about Energy Glass, which is a solar alternative for standard plate glass windows. And they talk about how letting the sun help you pay your electric bill. And I say there are standard plate glass or insulated glass or different ways you do glass. I own a window and door company. And quite frankly, we get really challenged and frustrated a lot of the times with this stuff because we're just trying to execute the vision and you keep putting stuff in that may not be a proven process. So my main message that I want to convey to the audience today is that Energy Glass is a solar alternative for standard plate glass windows. And that definitely has us all perked up, right? Because where everything's going in the industry and how does this benefit you is let's talk about how the sun can help you pay your electric bill. And so we're going to really continue to build from a moment in time of a couple days at the Nuts and Bolts Conference Kindling and talking about solar powered windows. It's an honor, Michelle, to have you here. Let's start off with the speed round by what's your favorite beverage?
My favorite, Devin, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. But my favorite beverage is probably a mix between just plain old water and tea. Okay. And I love a good mocktail.
All right. What's the mocktail that comes to mind?
Oh, my gosh. It's got to be a mojito.
All right. I love those, too. Yeah, good stuff. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
In the built environment or the non-built environment?
Wherever you want to take it.
Perfect. So the natural environment would probably be Waimea Canyon in Kauai. Beautiful place. Magical. Just magical. And probably the built environment. I mean, I'm a California kid, but there's nothing like New York City.
All right.
There's just nothing like it.
And what do you like to do outside of the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
Two things. I really love advocacy in the IDD community. Okay. We can get into that a little bit later. And travel. I literally love to travel.
Well, it's an honor to have you here, Michelle. What is your story that led you being the business development executive at Energy Glass Solar?
So let me go back just a little bit and say that I have a child. I have two children. My youngest is what brings me to the IDD community, and she's a kid that's total care. So she, when she was about a day old, she had a little bit more than half of her brain removed. So that means that her daily life is well supported. So she is a seizure kid. So sometimes she has to have oxygen, supplemental oxygen to help her make it through the day. Other times she uses machinery to help her eat. So she's fed through a tube. So this is a kid who has a really articulated, calculated lifestyle. And being a single mom, well-supported as a single mom, I sought to have employment that understood that I would not necessarily be able to clock in for you for 80 hours a week or 40 hours a week, but still needing to have her well-supported, still believing that because when before she was born, we were told she lived 2 weeks to 2 months.
Wow.
My kid turned 17 in April, right? So wanting to live in both of these worlds, how do I support this miracle of a kid? But how do I have the life that gets me excited, that I love living out loud? The only way to do that is to sort of be an independent contractor to help. And my I think some of my gifts are to tell a story. So helping companies tell a story independently is sort of how I got into the space of being business development for Energy Glass Solar. My background is that I'm a chemist, so I can make stuff, and I love learning about how things are made. And so while this glass is patented, right, it's just the company really allows me to mother when I need to mother. It challenges me to connect with folks about what the actual technology is. And so that's the best of, that's the best of who I am as a person, storyteller. And then I love my kids and I mother them as much as I can. So that's
what a lead in it. It's amazing the doors that the Nuts and Bolts Conference has opened. And it's not just about selling windows or selling glass. It's about these communities of people that genuinely it's about caring first,
caring.
And solving problems in that caring format.
Right.
And you did a TED Talk kind of along those lines as well, right?
My TED Talk, yeah, was about solving for X. And my kid's X is that she is a seizure patient, intractable seizures. What that means is doesn't matter what chemistry we throw at it, she's always going to have a seizure. And so again, the background is in chemistry. I've worked for Big Pharma and came across cannabis, saw how it ameliorated seizure disorders in a lot of populations, and said, I think that's for my kid. And if you're listening on the podcast and you don't quite know that I'm African-American female, and there's a lot of trauma that has happened in the African-American community around the use of cannabis. And so my TED Talk is really articulated around what was the journey that we as a family had to go through in order to provide cannabis to my daughter to ameliorate her seizure disorder. So I think the TED Talk title is Cannabis Gave Me a Voice. It gave her a voice.
We'll put the links in the show note and we'll definitely check that out. What is the history and how does Energy Glass work? So talk through the company and the evolution because they didn't start yesterday, right?
That is correct. So Energy Glass is actually a spin out from Safe Glass, which is a 30-year-old glass company that cut its teeth on all kinds of architectural glass. So you need glass that is bullet resistant, Safe Glass made it. You needed glass that was hurricane, earthquake resistant, Safe Glass made it. And years ago, the government posed to the owners of Safe Glass another question. We're trying to solve for X. This X that they were solving for was how can we generate energy from a material that we can use that would power greenhouses? And Safe Glass came up with that solution, spun it out as Energy Glass. And so that's kind of where we are here now.
Awesome. Well, let's unpack that a little bit.
Sure.
Can you talk a little bit? This podcast is for the builders and its affiliates to put these projects together. And
yes.
One of my big call to actions is utilizing the IDD community and our Art of Construction Master Facilitators community and kind of put them together.
Okay.
And from this podcast, we can unpack and talk deeper dives about programs and different recommendation for the people for built projects and best figuring out how to utilize these different technologies like the energy glass. But can you talk through kind of high level, what programs do you recommend for our builders and affiliates to best utilize the different energy glass for the builders?
Sure. So at a high level, I'd start by saying this, like last year, 2022, August, we had the Inflation Reduction Act passed, which means if a builder is going to use an alternative energy material, building material in their project, they're going to get a tax credit. Minimally, it's going to start at about 30%. So in the big picture, using products that generate energy is going to save the builder 30% of whatever their cost is. Minimally. Then there are things that are called adders and they're add-ons. So 30 plus 5 plus 10 plus whatever. You get more percentages if you're going to build in a brownfield. You're going to get more savings if you build in an energy impacted, so a former coal town, for example. You're going to get more money if you build in a economically disadvantaged area. So those are called adders. So on the big picture, if builders are wanting to get their projects across the line, one way to do it is to think about how you can build with energy producing materials. So that impacts your bottom line. And if you're sort of drilling that down to the IDD community, it's the same thing, but it's a much more of a microcosm, because in our IDD community, there are gaps in funding for individuals who are part of that community, right?
Yep.
Not only are there gaps in that funding, but there are also spaces in which there needs to be more support. And if you are able to throw more money into a project, not take away, in other words, it's cheaper to do something in a project, then you're able to... You're not trying to figure out how to rob Peter to pay Paul in order to get the right project across the line. So if you start with the end goal of how can I get this project funded? Well, there's one way. I can use all kinds of tax credits and to get the project across the line. One of the things, just as an example, a real concrete example, when you're using energy glass in a project, in many zip codes in the U.S., there's no sales tax. So you think about that. Right off the top, there is no sales tax that's being added on to use this glass. That's a real hard number that can be calculated, can be thrown back into the project. So when you're talking about, okay, I need to build this development for a part of the IDD community, and I need to have enhanced security, where do I get the money for enhanced security? Well, I just got the money for enhanced security because I didn't pay any sales tax on, for example, this glass. So that's how you sort of get off of robbing Peter to pay Paul, but you're very thoughtful from the beginning and you're thinking about these are the needs of this community and this is how I'm going to fund those needs.
Yeah, and at the conference, there was lots of people, I think, looking for that silver bullet that has the builder that just says, here's the model on how you do that. And unfortunately, I hate to tell you, that's not how it works.
Correct.
Because all different areas and different people, and the more I learn about IDD, it's not just one thing that's IDD. It's
correct.
A lot of different ways it's done. So
correct.
This is actually a very challenging thing to discuss,
yes,
to disseminate down into a couple things. But the part that you have to figure out is what is that one way to get your project there? And right. You have to, and if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. And you have to get others involved, right?
Correct.
All right. So I want to, the naysayers, and I raise my hand to say, I've been in the glazing industry of insulated glass for 25 years, and I've seen so many different films and heat mirrors, and this is this great technology, but how do you get wires to it, and how do you do all these things? Mm-hmm. So rightfully so, I think a lot of the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, including myself, kind of start to this, are reluctant and or until they see it's really proven mainstream.
Right.
They're not big on using technologies like this. And it also takes a long time to get those to the mass market because as soon as it starts getting traction, it changes. I think of like Cardinal Glass. I've been to many of their float plants and insulated plants and seeing different technologies, but getting it to be that mainstream thing is really hard. And it kind of boils down to pay now, pay later, CapEx, OpEx. Mm-hmm. And that's what you and I have been talking about. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk through some case studies of, we've now learned this didn't start yesterday. We got a lot of problems to solve. Mm-hmm. What's your take of kind of, you know, where Energy Glass like could actually step into being used on your project and talk about maybe some others?
Sure. So let's start with one of the case studies. So the Sears Tower that's gone through like a few hands, right? But let's just call the Sears Tower. Most people know what that is, the Willis Tower, Sears Tower. Years ago, had a conversation about this energy producing glass. And the conversation went something like, well, hey, what are you saying that I've not heard of this as a possibility that glass can produce energy? Can you show us?
Sure.
Absolutely. Let's do a test. And so this was a long running test, about 8 years. And I don't remember the new name of the company, but it was that it was PPG.
Okay.
And PPG was the Titan at the time. And they came in, looked at our results of how this glass was producing energy and said, you know what, this is actually a real thing. And so that's sort of outside validation, not internally us saying, oh, it produces energy, believe us.
Right.
No. And then also with something as formidable as the Sears Tower partnering to have this test, that's sort of how we got to it being in the Sears Tower, where the developers, the owners of the tower, approached us and said, hey, is this a thing? And we said, yes, it actually is a thing. And then PPG saying, you know what, they're right, this really is a thing. And so sort of at a high level, that's kind of what, you know, what happened over that time period of 8 years.
So we'll make sure we put links to that project in the show notes so people can go do the research, right?
If people Absolutely. That
it's, you should be reluctant, in my opinion, and you should go do research because there are a lot of things that get put to market in this category that do tell you a lot of things, but it doesn't do a lot of things.
Correct.
Her facial expression to that answer. And the other thing is, how does it look in options, right? A lot of times it's been about trade-offs when it comes into different things, when it comes to glass.
Right.
How does Energy Glass work around that?
I want to say one thing before I talk about how it's different, and sure. that I want to say that Energy Glass is the only patented clear, optically clear glass in the marketplace. Right?
Which is a big deal. There's so many things out there that
are not.
Right.
Right. They've got frit in it. They've got, you know, dots and lines and grids, and this has none of that.
Okay.
And as the kids say, this ain't that. This ain't that, right? And so it's 87%, just like normal glass, optically clear. So this is very, very different. So now the imagination of both the architect and the developer,
sure.
you know, can really sort of thrive, right? And so that's how it's very, very different. I forgot the second part of your question.
Yeah, so we're talking about like, first, we talked about case studies and
yes.
challenges around doing this, but then it's also additional challenges, like you talked about the clear part of it, but also adding different technologies or different things into that.
Yes.
How does Energy Glass? So the optically clear is the critical. That's the 800-pound gorilla I think you got to lean into first.
Right.
But then being able to custom cut it or different solutions like that.
Right. So remember, our background is that we are glass manufacturers, right? So that's different than, for example, there's some technologies on the marketplace like Onyx or even View, where persons were scientists that came in and created a product. For us, it's the other way around. we were glass manufacturers first and have 200 lines of product that we've produced over the years. And this is yet one that we saw the potential and said, this is big enough to be its own 800-pound gorilla, as you said. And so that's how it got spun out. So the technology supported it being its own entity. And then also the possibilities of what are possible sort of made it stand out and say this could be something on its own. Because it could be, remember, because we're glass manufacturers first, it could have been bulletproof that now generates energy. I'm sorry, bullet resistant, right? Correct language. Sure. Bullet resistant. And now it also, we can do the nanotechnology, put our nanotechnology in the glass and then make it resistant and energy generating.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty complicated stuff to tie all this stuff together. And,
yes.
You know, the days can be long sometimes when you're trying to get stuff to market, but the years are short and putting all that stuff together.
Right.
And that's what it was, you know, this was a fun journey of going through like, what do we do to make a living? But then it's more than just making a living. It's about how to live life to the fullest and
yes.
leave this planet a better place than when you received it. And boy, that's hard sometimes if you sit in the mainstream news and trying to figure that out. And,
absolutely.
You know, as we close out to getting into our standard questions we always ask, I first want to take a little time and just continue to say, it's been a great calling for me to come into the IDD community and say, it's really about spreading an awareness in a new way, but also like taking things that have been done for a while and do it a little bit differently and mm-hmm. come with new perspectives. That was like so refreshing at the Nuts and Bolts conference of like how engaged to actually make it happen these people were versus sitting in a boardroom of a 2% paradigm shift of just not messing up the status quo.
Right.
And taking those convergence and putting those together. And I would love for you just to expand a little bit more from your perspectives on kind of moving, you know, a voice through the art of construction for moving IDD forward. And, you know, at the beginning, before we record, you talked about a lot of times the IDD community is like one of the most silent that needs to be heard. And that really resonated with me. And figuring out to say, you know, the shiny object in the news today about interest rates is a person can't do that. But there's a lot more undertones than that variable, right? For a lot of people, right? So if you could kind of talk through that before we go close out on our standard questions. Thank you in the beginning for sharing the story and commend you for, you know, the awesome mother that you are and how you continue to be out here and keep doing this for your family, but also for the greater IDD community.
You know, Devin, again, thank you so much for having me here. When we were talking pre-recording, I said to you that there are 122,000 Coloradans that are a member of this intellectually impaired community, right? So when you think about that, yes, we can see persons on the street that might be, for example, our homeless population. We can see that.
Yep.
But my daughter spends her time in school and she spends her time at home. So you don't see her. So she's a member of a lot of what is a silent community, mm-hmm. right? And you can't look at someone and necessarily see that there's an intellectual impairment. And what we don't think about of that 122,000 Coloradans, for example, or even just persons in the wider community and in the world. But particularly here in the US, we have a limit of having, if you're a member of the IDD community and you have more than $2,000 of assets or resources, and you are using public assistance or healthcare, the moment that you have $2,000.01, you lose access to all of your care. That means that I could never own a home. My daughter can never own a home and still have her health coverage.
That's an impossible challenge.
That is an impossible challenge.
that we have to make possible.
That we absolutely have to make possible, right?
Because, and I'm playing on the words because the words do matter, right? Because you can spin this stuff a lot of different ways of like how the rules are written, but the only constant is change, right?
Correct. And at the end of the day, we have this challenge, and that's why the Nuts and Bolts conference was so excellent, right? How, with that as a huge constraint, persons cannot own their asset, how are we going to house them? And they haven't, they're a member of this intellectual impaired community. How are we going to support this community with that as the challenge? And so that's what I loved about the things that were going on at the conference. What are some very real ways in which we can house members of this community? My daughter is a member of the community, and she's amongst those that have the most profound needs. She's not going to have a job, right? She's not going to go to college and be well supported in college. She's someone that is always going to need nursing around her. She's someone that's always going to need supports around her. But how do we house members of the whole spectrum of the IDD community? How do we house them, right? And so that we're going to figure it out. And that's what that conference was for. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah. And then it takes people bolting on, bringing the nuts and bolts to that, like the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. And from this, this is the last podcast before we're going to really be coming together. And it's hard for all of us, right? We all have all these other things going on, but to take the time to come in the community and work as the go-giver of give and get. And, but that's what really needs to happen in these times. And so make sure you subscribe and getting involved. We'll be putting information out to the IDD community about how we're putting all that to the market and how we're all going to work together to actually make these buildings come to life. Because you know what's really cool about this whole thing? There's a lot of people that want to sell energy glass, sell windows and doors packages. I interviewed a GC that would love to build more of these communities. There's people that want to do it. We just have to make the right connections.
It is about the connections.
And that's what it's all about. So as we close out the questions we always ask, what is that crystal ball or that down the line for the future when it comes to technology and construction from your point of view as storytelling for a company that is producing energy glass?
I think what's in my crystal ball really is about energy, right? So whether you are harnessing it, whether you are manufacturing it in your project, whether you are calculating it in your project, my crystal ball is really focused around energy. And of course, I'm hoping that also a part of my vision in the crystal ball involves getting really interesting projects that are going to be using the glass, but truly the crystal ball has to do with energy and how we're going to harness it and what we're going to do with it in the big picture. And then the small sort of myopic picture, we're looking always for projects.
So as the final closeout of the Nuts and Bolts conference podcast, call to action, the great connections that are building, what is that one thing as a mother with a child in IDD and as an advocate for energy glass and energy and all the stuff we've talked about, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Devin, I would think, what I would say is this, like if builders, if your affiliates, instead of focused on the bottom line, but focus where that heart line is, like where does your heart rest in this work, right? I think that's going to build their business definitively, right? Because you're going to go where your heart leads you. Money's going to follow, right? But in this work of what you're building and what you're doing, are you fundamentally changing the life of the persons who are going to be in your asset? I think that's the question you needed to answer. My money's going to come. My money's going to flow. But where is my heart going to rest? I think that's the question.
Nothing else needs to be said. The perfect ending to a never-ending story. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Devin.